U.S.-Turkish relations have undergone a choppy year in which Ankara denied territorial access to U.S. troops in the Iraq War. But the relationship has apparently bounced back, due in part to the recent efforts of Turkey's Prime Minister, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Now, Turkey's leader is more eager than ever to get the European Union to begin negotiating his country's membership bid.
But Turkey's human rights record and the issue of a divided Cyprus have traditionally thwarted its chances. Meanwhile, Syria has asked Turkey to act as an intermediary in the Middle East peace process, a role Ankara says it's willing to undertake. As Nina Maria Potts reports, Recep Tayyip Erdogan has been making the international rounds, explaining why Turkey can lead the way to democratization in the Middle East.
For these Kurds, protesting a recent visit to Washington by Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the words democracy and Turkey are an oxymoron. And yet it's precisely this concept that Turkey's leader is here to promote.
Hitler is proud of you!
Hitler is proud of you!
This demonstration was broken up by police shortly before Tayyip Erdogan arrived to speak at a Washington think tank. Enraged by U.S. President Bush's recent assurances to Turkey that the U.S. is committed to a territorially intact Iraq, Turkey fears a breakaway Iraqi Kurd state. One protester explained why he believes Turkey is undemocratic.
Turkey is a repressive, militaristic state that took a whole part of Cyprus by military force. And they're coming here and talking about democracy. That's just total shame. Mr. Erdogan, it shouldn't talk about democracy, hypocrisy, when they're occupying Cyprus. They're meddling, they're doing terroristic act in Iraqi Kurdistan, and it's just shame. It's shame for the United States to let somebody like him to come here and claim democracy.
And yet, Mr. Erdogan argues that not only is democracy alive in Turkey, but his country is in a position to lead the whole region towards democratization. Mr. Erdogan's record to date marks an impressive departure from his predecessors. He appears genuinely committed to further democratic reform in Turkey, evidenced by constitutional reform in the areas of press, political and religious freedom, as well as efforts to improve human rights and free speech. He's also walked the tightrope between keeping his own party happy and the military, which wields significant power in Turkey. In foreign policy, Mr. Erdogan has shown his willingness to resolve the Cyprus issue by forcing Turkish Cypriot leader Rauf Denktaş, largely seen to have been the stumbling block to a peace settlement, back to the negotiating table. But Mr. Erdogan faces plenty of resistance to reform from within. His efforts to persuade his government to let American troops access Turkish territory to launch a ground attack on Iraq failed spectacularly, costing the country $24 billion in American loans and grants. And Turkey's reaction to Kurdish separatist activity in northern Iraq remains a thorny issue, a test even, in the eyes of the international community, to Turkey's real commitment to ethnic minority rights. In Washington, Mr. Erdogan explained why Turkey can serve as the West's window on the Middle East.
As a society consisting predominantly of Muslims, Turkey will continue to make contributions towards disseminating and developing universal values in this region. Turkey feels this responsibility as a result of its democratic structure, rich historical legacy and identity, economic potential, and its membership in Western institutions. Moreover, these givens also shape Turkey's national interests. To be successful in this endeavor, we are first establishing these values firmly at home, and we will continue to do that.
But Mr. Erdogan does not believe in imposing democracy from the outside.
The most effective source to make societies more prosperous, open and democratic, and thus render regimes stronger and more peaceful, can be found within those societies themselves.
The Turkish leader acknowledged the challenges of pioneering democracy in the region.
Historically, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam have all played a central role in forming this collective wisdom. However, the present instability and the conflicts in the very region which gave birth to these three great religions prevent the realization of the vast potential which exists there and stalls collective wisdom.
Prime Minister Erdogan also underlined efforts by his government to introduce two new political approaches at home, conservative democracy and what he describes as deep democracy. He says conservative democracy in Turkey responds to the needs of the Turkish people.
This approach rests upon Turkey's experience as a meeting point of civilizations, its values, and its people's wish and desire to adapt to contemporary values.
Mr. Erdogan believes Turkey's new approach of conservative democracy has a significance that goes beyond the borders of Turkey.
A significant part of the Turkish society desires to adopt a concept of modernity that does not reject tradition, a belief of universalism that accepts localism, an understanding of rationalism that does not disregard the spiritual meaning of life, and a choice for change that is not fundamentalist. The concept of conservative democracy is, in fact, an answer to this desire of the Turkish people.
But conservative democracy must not simply be cosmetic, says Mr. Erdogan, highlighting his belief in so-called deep democracy.
Much distance has been covered in Turkey towards establishing and institutionalizing democracy in its fullest sense, a democracy which incorporates pluralism and tolerance, not a self-styled democracy. The ideal is not to have a mechanical democracy that is reduced to elections and certain institutions, but an organic democracy that pervades into the administrative, social and political fields.
Recep Tayyip Erdogan's talk of democracy in Turkey is no doubt music to the ears of the Bush administration. But for these Kurdish demonstrators at least, Turkey still has a long way to go to prove itself in the area of human rights and genuine democratic reform. For Common Ground, I'm Nina Maria Potts in Washington.